for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken, right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM, streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Tonight's program is made possible in part by Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Clark Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint, Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Network Physical Therapy. Let's join Ken and Dave for PCSN Live from the Stanton Studio.
And good evening and welcome everyone to another edition of PCSN Live here on a rainy Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, rain, and more rain. Nothing like being on spring break and having it rain all week.
You would think we were in Seattle or somewhere like where it rains.
Right.
Pretty good. Yeah, we got it coming down right now. We got a storm passing over as we speak, and looks like we're at kind of the back end of the rough stuff. After this, I think it's just going to get cool.
That and potential for early morning snow on Saturday morning. At least potential slush maybe even thrown in there. So
yeah,
you never know what you're going to get in Kentucky.
And we're April the 6th, folks. So
yeah,
it's
right.
Another typical Kentucky April.
Well, on one hand, we had a little bit of snow April Fool's Day, April the 1st. That probably should have been a sign right there that the snow wasn't finished.
Yeah, I called D at Bowen, and I was working on the softball field, and I said, it's snowing. And then I texted her back later. I said, now it's sleeting. And we got some big time sleet.
Yeah.
She said, oh, you're just April 4th. I said, oh, whatever. One time I finally told the truth on April 4th, and both times I was being honest, it was actually sleeting and snowing when I called. So, yeah, we got some nasty beginning of April. April. It's not April that comes in like a. That's in March. Comes was April. Is it April's showers bring May flowers?
Right.
March comes in like a line goes out like a lamb. Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, anyway.
Sorry, I couldn't help you on that
one. Lost my saying somewhere, but anyway. Talking sports, we've got really quite a bit to talk about. We've got we've had the men's and women's NCAA championship. We've got opening day baseball. Belated starting tomorrow. The Masters getting ready to kick off with Tiger Woods back in action. And locally, we got baseball, softball season going on.
Yeah, baseball season, it's kind of interesting in a sense. I feel like we've covered a lot of the games, especially softball and baseball. And unfortunately, this week with the rain, games have been canceled. But the Pirates will start with the boys first. 7-3 on the season, very respectable start here for the Pirates. One of the games they ended up dropping to Fleming County could have gone either way in a sense. The only big loss that the Pirates have actually experienced was against Perry County Central and Rowan County, both of those games. So the Pirates going back, let's go back to like the 24th. They defeated Owsley County to go 1-0 in district play, so a nice start there. And then on the road at Montgomery County, picked up a nice win. 5-2 was the score there. Follow that up the next night in a very competitive game against Bath County. That one went 3-2, a very nice game as well. Then the Pirates finished off Morgan County 15-0 on the 30th in three innings. And then on that Saturday, that's when they traveled to Rowan County. Game one, they lost to Rowan County 14-1, but then followed up with a nice win against a regional foe in Breathitt County, where they ended up winning 5-3. So they bounced back after that tough loss to Rowan County. And then on Monday of this week, they played Paris. Again, another competitive game, ended up winning 4-3. Pirates trailed, came back, were able to get ahead, and Paris tied things up, and then the Pirates were able to go ahead. Again, 4-3. I feel like that the Pirates, the baseball team, they have all the parts that they need to really go far in the region. I think they have the pitching. The fielding is there. They've cut down on their mistakes. They're getting key at-bats at times and advancing runners and scoring runs. Time's probably leaving a few too many people on the back, but then you have to credit the defense of the team that they're actually playing. But again, 7-3, very respectable for Coach Frank Spencer's team here, and the boys are off to a really good start.
Yeah, and look at their top two pitchers right now. Kyle Nickel throwing 16 and a third innings so far, only giving up 13 hits and 10 runs. Only four of those earned. He is coming in with a nice 1.71 ERA. That clip's getting it done for the Pirates. And if you're at a 1.71 ERA, that's getting it done for about anybody. So
yeah,
he has definitely stood out to be the ace early on in the season. And you got Ethan Hagnow, who's thrown 15 and a third. But he's given up 16 hits on 16 runs, nine of those earned, with a 4.11 ERA. So not too bad for Ethan on a kid that really only really began throwing here in the last couple of years. So nice to see that. So they got some innings from Cam Del Rosario. Kane Knox is the one that I've heard a lot of people talk about coming in late in games or giving him a couple innings early, only a freshman. Everybody says he's doing a really good job coming in out of the bullpen.
Yeah, he came in relief the other night. Austin Begley got his first start and had a little bit of shoulder soreness, if you will.
Yeah.
And Kane came in and replaced him, did a nice job to finish things out. So I think his record is 2-0, if I'm not mistaken, for Kane.
For Kane, yeah, look, 1-0 looks like.
1-0.
But what I like to see is 4 1/3 innings. He's given up the four hits, so that's one per inning. That's okay, as long as you don't walk people. So he has limited his walks to only one. And struck out six in those four innings. That's a pretty good ratio, especially when you're talking about a freshman coming in and getting the job done for, again, for the Pirates. Austin, again, the kid that out of the bullpen, you expect a lot out of him. He had a little bit of an injury. I'm sure this start for him is a little bit slow, which I think you could probably expect the numbers you're seeing out of him right now. I know he was really hittable against the Perry County game. He came in and they kind of teed off on him a little bit there, but I do think he'll bounce back once he gets his arm in condition. I think he was kind of coming in early after that. It was a foot injury, I think he had. So he had to maybe sit out for about 2 weeks, 3 weeks with that foot injury. And that's really slowed his, in my opinion, his progression down. So you got him in that rotation mix. And this rotation can do some good stuff.
Yeah, again, I think that's probably one of their strongest aspects of this team is that they have different pitchers that they can go to. When you have a freshman like Kane Knox that can step in and contribute right off the bat, I mean, that just, you know, kudos to him. Oh, yeah. And Coach Frank Spencer seeing something in him and giving him that opportunity.
Oh, definitely. And then, like I said, with Nickel, he's their ace. I mean, you know that going in, and I think you'll see that for the remainder of the season. Offensively for the Pirates, you got some guys really hitting the ball well. Luke Hood, he's hitting a .381 clip. Corbin Thacker at .421. Chandler Congleton, with probably some less at bats than some other guys, but at a .471 clip, team batting average of .290. That's really nice numbers. Cam Del Rosario coming in there over .300 at .318. So, offensively, the team looks really, really nice. Now, these stats do not include last night's Paris game when they won, so don't know how many hits they got or anything like that for each player. But statistically, so far, it's a pretty good start for the Pirates.
Yeah, if anything, they're getting base runners on base, and then unfortunately they'll strike out, let's say, and all of a sudden now you've got two outs, and the next batter will get up and a ground out or a pop out, and all of a sudden now you've left two on base. And that kind of seems to be a little bit of a theme at times. Again, they can manufacture runs. They do a nice job of stealing bases and everything. It's just that those key moments when all of a sudden you've got runners on second and third and just one out and you can't get them across.
Well, it's probably kind of like anybody else. It's where you are in that order. If you get deeper in that order, usually your weaker hitters at toward the bottom. If those guys are coming up with the guys on, those top guys on, then you've got nowhere for them to go. If they're not getting that clutch hit, and the guys usually at the bottom of the order are at that part of the order for a reason. And it's not like Major League Baseball when you're the Dodgers, you got no easy outs. You know, you've got a lineup where anybody can hurt you at any time. But now in high school baseball, it's kind of like everything else. You've got usually four, five, six kids that get the job done. Everybody else, you hope for somebody that can just have a nice at bat. You know, it's kind of what you're looking for.
Yeah, and Frank Spencer has kind of changed his lineup a little bit, tweaked it here and there. If you remember early on, he had Braden Rogers that was leading off, moved him down to the three, and now I think he's at the four or the five spot the last couple of games. I think he's been a lot more effective in that spot. Chandler Congleton now batting second the last couple of games. Cam Del Rosario batting first. So he has a good lineup. And as you mentioned, you know, yes, when you get down, you know, the 6, 7, 8, 9 in a sense, not necessarily the batting average, but yet they definitely can contribute. It's just a matter of them getting up there, getting the confidence that they need. And once you get on that roll in a sense, and all of a sudden now you're making contact, you're seeing the ball better, those guys will pick things up because obviously those guys are good batters as well. They've just not quite been able to find that groove for themselves.
You know, a lot of time when you got these pitchers that worked all winter to get ready for March and April, they may be ahead of the hitters. I know when we watched Kyle over there, I think that was the Perry game I worked with you, and Kyle threw, and, man, his curveball seemed to be, to me, seemed to be really on. But Perry was just very patient, took a lot of pitches, and were able to maybe go the other way and, you know, limit his what his pitches were going to be. But overall, you know, he did a good job. Just you don't want to get a kid that deep in the order where you're throwing 100 pitches early in the season. So, you know, sometimes these matchups in baseball really don't make a lot of sense because you got the key district games. You got pitch limits that you have in baseball where you only pitch this many innings this week, or this many pitches you can throw. And then you got to be careful of how you use those and use those kids. Maybe you got a Monday, Tuesday district game, and then on a Friday, you're down to just guys finding some innings. That's you know, it's kind of crazy. You're looking at orders and games where, let's say, really good teams are losing because they're out of pitching for the week. You know, their guys are all done with their innings and or their pitch limits. And now it's just kind of who wants the ball, you know. Go throw a couple innings for me.
Yeah, and I think on one hand, even going back to Monday's game against Paris, where Austin Begley started, and I obviously Coach Spencer probably would have absolutely loved for him to have completed that game to set, you know, to continue with his rotation. Well, once he brought Kane Knox in, who I'm assuming probably would have been the starter in the next game against Owsley County or Lee. I can't remember which one was on the schedule next. I think it was Owsley. But at that point, that kind of potentially would have messed his rotation up a little bit. Well, now all of a sudden those games have been rained out, so now you have a reset in a sense to get back in line. Exactly. Everybody's ready, but now you're back in the order, though, that you originally potentially would have had to begin with.
Well, you're in that order unless you're holding your guy back. Let's say, and I know for Powell County, and I'm not knocking anybody else for the boys, when you're looking at, I'm looking at their schedule right now, they got Lee County coming up. Their next game, that's today, which is obviously canceled. Yep. Then you have Hazard coming up on Friday, which that's a pretty good chance that guy's probably not going to.
That's probably canceled as well. I mean, and I get that it's only Wednesday, but yeah, with the projections of the rain, I don't see any field being in great shape to be playing on Friday.
Yeah, as we look ahead with the forecast, again, there's no really rain in the forecast tomorrow, but again, Friday is just a cold, nasty, ugly day. So if they play Friday, good. That's good for them. It's a 1 o'clock start time,
That's the Mason County.
I looked down. It's a 6 o'clock start time. That game is at Hazard. So right now, Hazard is getting ready to get hammered with some storms. But again, it's only Wednesday. They got plenty of time to get those fields ready, especially if they tarp them. So I'm not sure if they get the field tarped and or whatever. But I know we have a game at Jackson County, and I'm doing my best I can to not play that one because I don't want to play in 41 degree temperature on a Friday, a spring break week. It's kind of a really bad bunch of combinations.
Well, yeah, in addition to the rain that's projected, even on Friday, you know, I think under those circumstances, probably, not to put on these terms, it's probably a wash in a sense as far as like it not necessarily happening. And even on Saturday, the Pirates will play Mason County and Lewis County at Lewis County.
Have fun with that one.
You know, and again, who knows if those games will even be played depending on the circumstances with the weather that we get Friday.
Here's my take on cold weather games. I understand people play when it's cold, and I totally get it. Who's comfortable? I mean, no one. No one wants to be out in 36, 37 degree temperature, snow in the morning, whatever else you may have. Really, nobody wants to play in those conditions on a Saturday. I don't think. Again, and you're still early enough in your season to where you don't want any injuries on those days with your arms. You got to me, you got to use a little bit of common sense here, and there's needs to be a cutoff. And I know that college games happen here in Kentucky in February, but we're not in college. We're in high school. We got to really kind of keep our kids safe. I just think there's probably a cutoff point where you should logically have a game. I mean, I don't know what that cutoff is. I know we've played them before. We've had a game getting ready to play in the 20s. And that's just, you know, that's just kind of ridiculous. I mean, everybody's got toboggans on. You can't even move. So, I mean, really, why are we putting our kids out there for that? You know, you're not going to gain anything from it. You're all miserable. Umpires are miserable. They're calling the bigger strike zones to get the game over with as much as they can. You got a chance to, really tear up a, expensive bat. Now that we are in this big time $450 to $500 bats out there, and they say do not play with these under 45. There's reasons for that. So I'd hate to see these parents buy these $400 bats. We go play with them on a 38 degree day, and you crack a couple bats. What'd you do? You just cost somebody
a lot of money.
And again, they warranted those bats, but if they find out that you used it under their temperature guides, they're not going to replace that.
Right.
So, you gotta be careful. Use a little bit of common sense on these cold days.
Well, and it was even tough last week, the games that we had with the wind. And the cold temperature. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it may have been 46, but the wind's blowing at 20, 25 miles an hour.
Yeah.
It's feeling like 36 at that point. It's very difficult.
But the actual temperature is what would affect the bat more than that.
Sure, of course.
You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah.
Things like that, I think you're probably okay to play. But when, I went down to watch Frederick Douglass play last week, and it was actually warm. But the wind was awful. I mean, it was a really windy day we had last week.
Yeah, it was like last Wednesday. Yeah.
We went down. It was actually a warm day, but, the wind here in Powell County is really nowhere close to the wind that is normal in Fayette, or at least there at Douglass. And I'm telling you, it was I'm a big guy, and it was moving me around, and all the little folks were really moving around. So it was kind of fun to watch. But any fly ball that was hit, they played Montgomery that day, and any fly ball that was hit was an adventure. There were a couple of balls hit behind the screen that blew back into play. It was just really wild to watch with that wind. And sometimes those kinds of conditions, why are we playing? I mean, it's a circus to catch a ball. Anybody that goes up, good luck.
Well, and even for a pitcher, very difficult circumstances in cold weather like that for a pitcher to get warmed up in a sense and to be effective, yet alone the catcher who's behind the plate having to be in that squat position in a sense. And at that point, he's definitely different.
He may be the warmest guy on the field, though.
He's got a little bit more protection in a sense, a little bit more.
A little bit more active, more gear on than anybody else. He might be the warmest guy out there. But, I went to watch, again, my cousin play down there and got a couple of connections. And Gavin Faulkner, who plays for Frederick Douglass, senior this year, he was pitching that day. And his first at bat, hit a home run. I thought it hit my car, but it was about 20 feet down. But it didn't stop. And I'll just kind of brag on him real quick. They've played about 10 games. He's got 7 home runs so far in the season, hitting about 300 clip, and a couple of really solid wins so far. So he'll be playing Eastern next year. But, man, I tell you what, he's fun to watch. And, I'll try to get out a couple times a year to go watch them play down at Douglass. And if you get a chance, watch old Gavin play. Man, I tell you what, kick and play some first base, play some right field some, and then he's the number 2 starter. I think he's probably their best, but they call him their number 2. Some fun guys. I also know the local connection down there is Jack Gross. He's a catcher, and he belongs to Jessica Ramsey, what used to be Jessica Ramsey, now Jessica Gross, and then that's a sister to Craig Ramsey, and daughter Paul and Sharon, they live here local, and they spent their time now going to watch Greg's son play middle school ball and go watch Jack play some high school ball. So a couple of Powell County connections there with that Frederick Douglass team.
I think when you look, the number of kids that play baseball and the talent in baseball in Kentucky, it's really amazing in a sense, because we've got talented kids all across the board, no matter where you play them. I mean, you can just spot kids and realize, oh, that kid's a player in a sense, no matter who the team is. And even coming up on Monday, the boys are playing host to Bluegrass United, which is a Kentucky homeschool. Well, they're not sanctioned in a sense by HSAA, and therefore you don't have any stats or anything. But there's no telling what type of talent is on a team even like that.
Yeah, you don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. I mean, they're obviously, again, the talent's out there. Powell County has a lot of talent, young talent, even a lot of talent, even at the middle school level. If I had to guess, I would say probably that the baseball program is probably the most solid program that we have in the district.
You're talking between sophomore and really even the sixth grade is pretty good. So sophomores down to sixth grade, this baseball boom is for the next, I'm going to say 5 years, is going to be pretty solid. So if we could develop some more pitching and the kids could grow, I will throw that, because it's a small group at the middle school right now. But if they grow and have their normal growth spurts, telling you, Powell County baseball in the next couple years will have a really good chance to win a couple regional titles. I'm not just going to settle for one. They're going to have a chance to win a couple regional titles in the next 5 years.
Yeah, and I think one of the things, and when we had Coach Spencer in here just talking about conditioning, it would be great to have a conditioning coach to be able to work with our players, because one of the things, and we can even go back to football and or even basketball for that matter, one of the things that we seemingly lack in a sense compared to some other teams is just that physical strength.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just a matter of just getting in there and just pushing people around, you know, holding your ground in a sense and kind of pushing somebody around. And not that equates to the baseball field, but at the same time, having that power equates to being a power hitter, you know. And I think if we had something like that, again, this is Coach Frank Spencer's idea. If we had someone like that, I definitely think it will pay dividends, just like he, you know, again, it's his statement in a sense, and I think that's one of the things that we're lacking across the board within our district.
Yeah, and he also mentioned, make sure it's sports-specific conditioning.
Absolutely,
you know,
yeah.
If you had somebody that's a specialist to come in, they can, you know, tailor a cross-country runner and a lineman, you know, the lineman with the tailback, with the receiver, and everybody in that mix has got a little bit of something different. So some of this, the specialists can work on an individual plan for each kid, and that's their job to give it to you, make sure that you follow their plans, and you don't have every kid doing the same workout program, because that's really not efficient.
Agreed.
It may be effective to get bigger, but it's not efficient for what you're trying to get done. So you got to be careful. What it is, it is a really good idea, and hopefully we've tried that a few years ago, but not with a specific coach. We try to do it even through our PE classes, where our coach would monitor that. But if you don't have that skill set to do the individual plans, it really is kind of it's not counterproductive. It's better than nothing, but it's not as good as what it would be with a specialist in there.
Yeah, and even going back, with football, as far as the COVID and everything, it was very difficult to get conditioning. And in the weight room and all of that stuff, it was kind of messed up having to wipe everything down and do all of that. So, I mean, that was setbacks for the football program.
Looking forward, if you're talking football, right now you have to be in the weight room working.
Yeah.
And you got to go through the summer, and then you'll be ready to play in the fall. But if you're not working right now for football, you've already thrown the next season away. So you got to have – it's got to be going on. And I know they are working over there in the weight room, because you see – the coaches come in every afternoon working their players. So it's getting done. But again, you need a bunch of kids. We need, like, you know, maybe 40 or 50 kids in the weight room all the time for football. They got to be there if they want to have success in August, September, and October next season. So this is the time you get it done right now when we're speaking. So I know it's baseball and softball season. It's football season for the condition. You see, you know, Kentucky right now getting ready to have a open workout for their spring practices going on. So these guys are working hard right now. This is really an important part of their season is the spring, to condition for the fall.
It would be nice if we could actually have more players to come out for football.
It'd be great.
I'm not sure what needs to change in a sense in order to get
mindset.
Maybe that's what it is. You know, there are a lot of kids. I'll kind of throw this out in a sense. If you have a child and they have anger issues, football's the perfect place for them to play. And meaning they can get the discipline that they need, and that in that same time they can take out their anger out on the football field tackling somebody.
As long as they're within the protocols of how you teach the game.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
They have to learn. You have to learn a lot of things in football, and one of those is discipline. Football, and Frank said it's one of the most important sports we play here is football. But that's the one thing that you can learn, even with anger issues, is the discipline it takes to not overdo something and how to control your anger in a positive manner versus a negative manner. I think football is perfect for those kids, like you just said. But learning those skills that you have to be effective on a football field is what those kids need. And we've got some good coaches here, and hopefully those kids will come out late for break, but let's do this real quick.
Let me wrap up the boys here in a sense. So, again, on Friday, they're supposed to be at Hazard, 6 o'clock game, and then on Saturday, they will be at Lewis County, a 1 o'clock game against Mason County, game 2 at 3 o'clock against Lewis County, and then Monday, they will play host to Bluegrass United. On Tuesday, they'll be at Fleming County. Then on Thursday, they will be at Menifee County. And then on Friday, Menifee County will come back to Powell, a 5:30 start on Friday. So
yeah, and somewhere along the way, they'll have to get the makeup game with Lee County in there.
And Owsley.
So they got two games they got to find to get made up. They may have to drop some games off the current schedule. So stay tuned to WSKV for those updates as we bring those as we get them. And we'll step away for a couple breaks here on PCSN Live.
Protect Security and Fire Systems. Your security is our business. Visit the Powell County Sports Network page at WSKVFM.com.
With Whitaker Bank's new home equity line of credit, qualified applicants can borrow up to 90% of their home's value with no closing costs. With Whitaker Bank's home equity line of credit, you only pay back 1% of your balance monthly, and you process your withdrawals with Whitaker Electronic Banking. Stop by Whitaker Bank and see how our new home equity line of credit can help you. Whitaker Bank proudly supports your Powell County Pirates. Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender.
Community. What does the word mean to you? Here at Citizens Guaranty Bank, community means everything. It's why we do what we do. As our community grows, we are here to be your helping hand, putting your dreams to work. Our community has very exciting opportunities and challenges. Let us help you build your future and meet the future needs of our community. My name is James Clark, the Powell County Market President here at Citizens Guaranty Bank. At Citizens, we are your hometown bank, and we are here for you because we are you.
Stop by any of our convenient locations in Stanton, Irvin, Berea, Richmond, and London. My money, my bank, my CGB.
Citizens Guaranty Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender. Qualifications and rules may apply. See institution for details.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
New driveway, parking lot, or large aggregate need? Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in all things crushed aggregate. They provide expert delivery and more, depending on size of application. Call Natural Bridgestone today at 606-663-2815 or Tipton Ridge Quarry at 606-723-4881 or find out more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
And welcome back here to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. as we were late on a break, so we took a little bit extra one, and the breaks don't run too long, so hope you didn't get too far away from your radio.
I almost feel like on one hand, I feel like at times, you know, we had a Wednesday game, I think probably the last 2 weeks or something. Sometimes it seems like it's been forever since we've actually been in the studio, and it gets a little confusing as far as what we've talked about and haven't talked about as far as going back into the scheduling. So we'll switch over to the girls' fast pitch softball. The Lady Pirates coming in with a record of 1-6 on the season. They ended up having some tough losses in a sense as far as the number of runs that are, you know, have been given up. And we're kind of talking about this off the air in a sense that your pitchers at times, they're throwing strikes and the teams are just teeing off on those pitches.
Yeah.
And in a sense, kind of making your team pay. And obviously there's been some errors in a sense, you know, that you normally would like to see your team make defensively in a sense. But when you've got teams that are just coming up and just hitting those balls and just extra base hits, and you know,
Estill County, I kind of expected what we got against Estill County. They beat us 18-1, but we really didn't make, I think we only made one or two errors against Estill County. We played probably one of the cleanest games of the season defensively. At the same token, they just beat the brakes off the ball. You know, when Dessa started out, she throws pretty hard, but she throws hard enough to get hit. Alyssa came in, gave us a couple good innings where the change of pace really kind of affected their bats a little bit. But then finally, it kind of went awry when they got the timing down. And then the first time, they'd already seen her once. Second time around, it wasn't easy to get out of the order against Estill County. Then we flipped the switch against Owsley County on, what was that game on?
Monday.
Again, that was only the second. No, it was last Friday. It was last Friday.
Yeah, that was last Friday. Yeah, the first.
Yeah. it was only the second time in my career that Owsley County had beat us. And I will have to say, Owsley County did beat us. It wasn't, you couldn't blame the umpires. You couldn't blame anything other than they just beat the brakes off the ball. And regardless of who the pitcher was, when Dessa was throwing good strikes, they hit it and hit it at people. We did make 7 errors in the game, but they had 11 earned runs. And that being said, we just gave up way too much. You know, walking too many batters. You have to throw strikes or pitches that look like strikes. Maybe I'm not calling a good game or whatever the reasons are, but we're not taking our bullpens to the game. We were throwing really good warming up. We're really good in the on the off days. But when we get to batters in the box, we're struggling. And I don't know mentally what that is, but we've got to find an answer before it gets too long. Also, with our team right now, we're not hitting as well as I thought we would. We're getting, you know, 6, 7, 8 hits a game. That's not enough right now to compete. We've got to get 14, 15 hits a game, be able to put 10 runs across, be able to, you know, offset our pitching woes a little bit. And if we're not able to do that, we're going to continue to lose games. And that's not a fun feeling. Now, going in, when we had this stretch of games, when we started out, I would project if we played every one of those first 8 games we had, that, and Buckhorn was on the schedule originally, and I had us penciled in with 3 wins. We did get to play Buckhorn, and we lost to Owsley, which is a team that I would have penciled us in as I thought we could win that game. They've got a pitcher that's doing a lot better than anybody would have expected, and they're really coming to the bat. I mean, they've won 5 or 6 games now, and they're not going to be a pushover in the region. They're not a bad team. They may compete with, you know, Lee County, or I'm definitely going to compete with us, but they may compete with Lee for that 2 slot. And so now the battle is for the 4 slot on who's going to play Estill County in that first round. Hopefully it's not us. But right now, we're in the mix of that because we're 0-2.
Yeah, and I think going back to your pitching as well, as you said, when you're pitching strikes and the other team is doing what they're supposed to do at the plate, and that's making solid contact, and as you mentioned, even some of the errors, I feel like one of the issues with the team, though, is that when a ground ball is hit to the infield – They don't get it out of their glove fast enough to make the throw. And other teams are consistently coming out of the box after a base hit and running fast as lightning, in a sense, and outbeating the throw. And it's just that brief hesitation of making that transfer from the glove to your hand, you know what I'm saying, to make that throw, and you're, and all of a sudden they're safe.
I think when you're what you're talking about there is probably indecision on where to go with the ball.
Sure.
A little bit of that, because I've seen the same kind of thing. And I hate to say this, but to me, if you've got a kid throwing pitches that you're throwing a lot of balls, I'll have to say this. I think the kids get back on their heels on defense, and they're not ready for somebody to hit it when you're not expecting a strike to be thrown. I think it all goes back to consistent pitching. I know that sounds like a lot of pressure to put on the pitcher, but guess what? That's kind of what that position is. You know, there's some kids that just step up and they can throw strikes. It doesn't matter what the sun's doing, what the moon's doing. It doesn't matter what the weather conditions are. You're going to step on the pitcher's rubber toe it and throw it, and there's going to be, they can throw strikes all day long. And at speed, we're struggling to throw strikes, which is a problem for our defense because we get back on our heels and we're not ready to make the plays. And I know people will say, well, you got to be ready. I understand that. But how many times have you watched even a major league game, either a pitcher is working really slow or they're having some control issues? The defense is never as good. You take Greg Maddux, his defense was probably some of the best defenses out there because he worked efficient and he worked around the zone. They're either going to hit it somewhere weak and you got to field it, and they know that's going to happen, the pitch to contact guy. And those are the things that I think if you can miss in certain places where it looks like a strike, that's where we'll start to be able to compete at the softball when our pitchers are throwing close enough to where the other team is swinging at those misses. Or, you know, and like I said, I think our defense gets better when that happens. If that makes any kind of sense.
I think, too, it is very difficult. Baseball and softball are very slow games in a sense.
Can be.
Yes. And so therefore you're mentally, you can feel like that you're ready, but yet all of a sudden one quick distraction, right? No matter what, if you're not concentrating, you just happen to look off to the side or something, whatever it might be. And all of a sudden the next bat pitch is hit. And all of a sudden you're like, oh right. You have to regain that focus in a sense. And at that point, maybe just that brief second, again, causes you time to cause that base runner to advance, and at that point you're like,
I know we're not charging the ball very hard, and another thing I'll say too about our defense, and this is kind of on me, our field is treacherous. That's to say the least right now. It's we had an issue where we tried to till it up early or too late, and that's on me, and we really don't have anything to replace on top of it. So now we've got some ruts out there on the field where these kids aren't getting the hops that they would normally get on a nice, smooth field. And we just don't have the revenue to buy the stuff that we need for, either turfs to go down or field conditioner to go down to where we can make it nice and smooth. You know, I know the Little League or the city bought all this nice stuff and did these renovations, but they also spent about 40 grand. And really it would take quite a bit of money to come in and get our field to where it needs to be. And we just don't have it. And that's kind of a problem that doesn't go away. You know, we need rollers. We need all kinds of different stuff. And hopefully either this week and beginning next week, we can get some stuff done. And the weather's got to help too. You know,
it definitely has not cooperated.
No, and we really can't go out on a wet day and fix it because it's too wet. And then if it gets too dry, it's hard to get even to do anything. So we've got to get a mix of a day and try to get it rolled. And we would love to have another layer of either, brick dust or some field conditioner and stuff. And I'm not making an excuse for the players, but it is. I mean, it is not a good playing surface. Now, other teams have come in and played better than us on that same field, and people will say that. But if you notice the games you've done, we've had a lot of kids hit balls that aren't on the ground. there's a lot of shots to gaps. There's a lot of shots, line drives, and that really aren't playable, or hard hit balls through the 5-6-0 up the middle, whatever. But the ones that are playable, we should play. And I don't disagree with that either. But there are some legitimate excuses to be made for our defense. And one of those is pitching and consistency, and the other is the field surface itself. And that's only home games. And we go on the road, we should feel a little bit better.
Right. And I think, too, with this team, going back to the strength, you have a lot of players on your team. They're not very big. And I get we're talking about girls in a sense, you know, as far as their size or whatever else. But some of them, in a sense, are very petite, and therefore not necessarily have that strength of someone who is of a bigger stature, in a sense. And sometimes I think when they're up at the plate, that they don't have necessarily that strength. They might have the speed. They might be able to make contact with it. They need to go on and, you know, run fast, in a sense. But yet you don't necessarily have big power hitters on your team like some of these other teams that you face do.
Yeah, well, I think we got some kids that could develop into good power hitters. We've got one kid, Ella Napier, seventh grader, is, I think the sky's the limit with her. She can become a really good softball player, and will be a really good softball player. Maya Wickline, only a freshman, has done some catching. Got a little bit of an issue with her foot, so we may have to move her to another position to keep her foot healthy. She got a lot of speed, got a really good bat, only a freshman. And you know, we're talking about our pitcher, Dessa Foster. You know, she's a sophomore. She's still got some things to learn. We didn't get a lot of work in last year. Again, that's kind of on me. But she didn't get enough work last year to where she's going to be effective. Now she's kind of put out there where you got to get it done. And, you know, we got some other young kids. Zaylee Strange has come in. She's done a really good job. She's only a freshman. But the bulk of our kids are our kids. We've got two seniors, Madison Combs and Kyrie Wickline, are the only two seniors we have. And that's our first baseman and second baseman. Very experienced. They kind of understand what's going on out there. Kyrie got her first home run of the season a couple.
Yeah,
couple
she definitely is a power hitter for you. She definitely can go yard and has that. Yes.
Well, if she gets the right pitch in the right location, she's going to drive it somewhere.
Yeah.
But again, I think Ella's kind of one of those kids. And we've seen Chloe Grader. She's one of those small kids that you're talking about. Probably weighs 105 at the most. But man, she has shown some really good power opposite field this year. I really like seeing that. Cheyenne Gearhart's one of those lighter kids. Her bat hasn't come around yet, but it will. And then we got some more kids, you know, Alyssa Tharp. Her bat's going to come around. Her glove has been really good at third base. She's probably been the most solid defensively that we've had. And then when Alyssa's pitching, Desi Plavnik comes in. She does a good job at third. She can also catch. And she starts in right field. And I think her bat has potential to hit balls out of the park once she gets her, you know, her groove on. You know, Madison Combs, one of those smaller stature players that she's playing second. Trying to go over all the starters here. I guess that's about
yeah.
it. So those kids, and I mentioned Carly Rogers, she's a junior. She kind of does anything we ask. Mainly as a runner for us, but man, these kids, they go out and they work really hard, and we can get some things done with that group, you know, 10 or 11 kids, and the rest of our kids are working hard every day in practice. They're just a little behind because either they're not getting the good travel ball play in the summer and just not had the experience of playing in the middle school. And we've got to get kids more involved in softball if we want to be competitive at the middle school and at the high school level. I know the middle school is also struggling just because we haven't had enough time with the summer ball that we started, I think, with Candy Halsey, started it last year in Clay City. And I think it's going to be good, but it's going to take a couple of years before we see those kids. And, you know, I know Ella plays a lot of travel ball as a seventh grader. Maya Wickline plays a lot of travel ball as a freshman. Those two kids, and this is sad to say, those two kids have probably got more experience playing softball than everybody else on the team. And we're talking about a seventh grader and a freshman. So I do think travel ball is very important for these kids to get experience and understand the game and learn different ways to do things. And Those are two very talented kids. They're going to be very talented kids. And, again, the future looks bright, but we got to get kids interested in pitching. And I think it has to happen when you're in the fifth or sixth grade.
Agreed.
It's happening now about when you get to seventh or eighth grade. It needs to be happening 3 or 4 years earlier than that. And these kids have got to get out there and I hate to say this, but probably go get lessons and weekly. And I know it gets expensive, but all these successful pitchers that you're seeing around all have a coach somewhere else other than their high school or their middle school. They have coaches other where they go to and get lessons. That's kind of the way it works now.
Well, and as a comparison, the boys basically have five pitchers mm-hmm. that they're using. You have two. So, therefore, not necessarily having that additional three in your rotation.
Well, we have more. Ella had a little hip flexor issue last week, so we took her off the mound, and she has actually thrown some of her best bullpens. But we don't want to mess with that hip flexor. We've also moved some kids over to the pitch. Sophia McKinney has done a really good job for us. She doesn't throw the ball real hard, but she's taking lessons, and she's improved immensely this season. But we're working with Chloe Grader, who has pitched some in the past. She has shown some promise of maybe being able to come in and give us some innings. Desi Plavnik has also kind of played with her for a couple of years. She's given us some innings. Carly Rogers actually taking some work. We're just trying different kids right now and trying to get them as much work as we can and try to find something that's working. We've got to change some things around. Our next game may not see the same lineup what you've been seeing so far, but we got to do some things different to make it happen on the field. And I'm just not sure what those changes are. You know, we play Friday, and that game is probably not going to happen. But our next game is here at home on Monday against Model. So we'll kind of see how things are and potentially have a district game next Thursday with Lee County. There may be a schedule change where that game gets moved from the 26th to next Thursday. So just kind of give you an update too. That's a possible switch that Danny Wright hasn't got back with me yet. He has an opening on the 14th. We have to kind of see how that plays out. We lost Bracken County, was coming here on the 14th. So now we're open. So we'll have to kind of see where that goes, but that's a possibility for a game the next week on the 14th, be a Lee County game at home versus not having Bracken County come in.
Right, and I will say this too about your team. You know, they don't give up.
No, they don't.
They continue to try and work, whether it's to manufacture runs, stealing bases, defense, et cetera. They continue to work, and at the same time, sometimes the temperature can be a distraction in a sense, because you obviously think of, you know, baseball and softball in a sense as far as warm weather, kind of.
I kind of look at it this way, though. It's the same temperature for both teams.
Agreed. Sure.
If you're playing well, it doesn't bother you. If you're playing poorly, it's affecting you. It's a mental. It's totally mental.
In so many ways, it truly is.
I mean, if it's 42 degrees, I'm sorry, it's 42 for both teams. But if they come out and play well, guess what? They're not freezing to death. If we're freezing to death, we're probably getting beat because we're thinking more about being cold than we are about playing the game.
And it could be those types of distractions, yes, though, that are costly. And it's no different even at the plate. Let's say that you're down 4-1 as the example, and all of a sudden you have a player that steps up to the plate. They're putting more pressure on themselves to get a base hit, and they're thinking about getting a base hit as opposed to taking each pitch one at a time and just make contact. The base hit will come in a sense. You just need to concentrate on that pitch, make the contact, and let it play out, as opposed to putting pressure on yourself like, I got to get a hit, I got to get a hit, I got. And therefore, you're swinging at pitches that you wouldn't normally swing at. They're out of the strike zone.
Yeah, we're probably a little bit too free swinging, if you will. I want our kids to be aggressive, but that doesn't mean swinging every pitch. So you also got to be selective. We've seen a couple of teams in here that have been very selective. We see teams come in here free swinging. It's two different mindsets, and a mix of both is probably really good, but I lean a little bit toward, if you like it, drive it. You know what I mean?
You also have to know, though, what is a good pitch for you.
Yeah.
Correct. Right. You can't sit there, you know, and be chasing a high fastball in a sense and think you're going to make contact, because that doesn't necessarily normally happen.
But I'll also say this. Our kids, and I've told them, we've taken too many called third strikes. on pitches from my angle, and I know we don't have the good, I don't know whether it's inside, outside, I can't really tell, but the height of the ball, we're taking pitches that we should be swinging at. And if we have two strikes, we've got to protect there. Doesn't matter if they're just off the plate or what they are. It's, if it's close enough, we got to be hacking. We just may not have the right mindset to hack at that pitch. Instead of swinging with all of our might, we gotta throttle back, widen our stance a little bit, just kind of get the bat on the ball and make good contact. But right now, we're just not even swinging at that third strike. And that's bothersome because you get three opportunities to hit it, and if one comes in and you're just watching it, that's on you. That's not – I'm not going to take the blame away from you. I'm not going to give credit all the credit to the pitchers. I'm going to blame it on the hitter. If it's that close, we got to be swinging. We've taken too many called third strikes.
Well, and on one hand, too, let's say, for instance, all of a sudden a pitch comes in and it's called strike and the player's not necessarily thinking, well, I didn't think that was a strike. Now the next pitch that comes in, they're already mentally – they're ready to swing now because they feel like, okay, this next pitch, if he's going to call that – I'm going to be ready. Then you swing at that one and potentially miss or foul it off or whatever. Now all of a sudden you're down 0-2, and now all of a sudden you're confused what's coming next in that regard, and then you don't protect the plate, and all of a sudden now you've got the third strike call.
You just have to have a mindset of, I'm going to hit if it's close, and I got to protect it. I got to at least foul it off, get another pitch, do whatever, but you just can't take that third strike. That's, you got a couple runners on base, you got two outs, and you take strike three looking. That's really on the player.
Well, and you're making that decision whether to swing or not literally in a split second.
Well, I mean, some of those kids come by and said, what did you see? I just couldn't swing. You have to be ready to say, I'm going to fight it off, do something. And I'm not saying don't give the pitcher credit for making a good pitch. I'm just saying we've got to be ready to attack the ball wherever it's pitched. With you got two strikes. If it's close, we've got to be swinging.
Well, and that goes back to, on one hand, too, he always told this to Kasdan, in a sense, when he was playing. Even when he was 3 and 4 years old, once he realized I could pitch to him and didn't have to hit off a tee, then that's what he wanted. But I would tell him consistently, watch the ball, watch the ball. Well, where's the ball? Well, right now it's in my glove. But you better be watching that ball coming out of the glove with everything that you have and be able to pick that up.
Well, yeah, I got a big lesson on softball a long time ago when I first started coaching back in 95. I had a guy come up here out of Winchester that he was blowing it by me. I said, what am I doing? He said, what are you looking at?
Right.
I said, well, I'm following the ball. He said, don't do that. I said, what do you mean? He said, look at my right pocket. I said, okay. I mean, I really still hadn't connected the two because I'm a baseball guy. You watch the ball all the way around. He said, the ball has come from my pocket. It's a rule. He said, it's coming from there. So
that's your release point in softball.
Yes. And once I started looking there, I started hitting it. Now, I don't know what the kids are – I don't think the kids are watching out. We've had that discussion before. Look at the pocket. It's coming from the pocket. It has to. That's just the way the rule is. If you've got a pitching machine, it's coming from the same spot.
Right.
I'm looking there. That's what you have to do. So don't watch me low. Don't watch all the other stuff that's going on. A lot of these pitchers come in with herky-jerky deliveries. Still has to come from the hip. It's real simple. I mean, it's – or the pocket, I will say. A little bit lower than the hip. It doesn't come from the hip. It's about mid thigh, it's going to come from there. So that's just by rule. If you're in baseball, you got a submariner, it's coming from down here. You got over the top, you got guys three quarter, you got guys almost sidearm. You got all kinds of places in baseball it can come from, but in softball it can only come from one spot. And to me, it should make the game easier for the hitters because it comes from a similar spot.
Maybe it's just a matter of focus and even confidence.
There you go. I think I think that's kind of what it is. And one of my coaches last week was telling me, he said he doesn't really love a pitch machine. And I'm thinking, okay, well, this week, yesterday, we did front toss, and I think the kids did pretty well on the front toss. But the pitch machine is it gives you one speed, it gives you one dimension, a lot of things. Front toss can. I could do a few more things with front toss. I just don't throw hard enough. And it's hard to find kids that could throw strikes that throws hard enough to where you need to be able to make the contact. But we can adjust the screen to get closer to you. If I'm 8 feet away throwing a pitch, we got to adjust to where it is and be able to hit it. And today they did a really good job. So that's something I'll probably add to our daily practice plan on hitting, especially, we're doing different group works and different stations work for different tees, and, and soft toss and stuff like that. But adding the front toss, I think, is going to help the kids out a little bit.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think, too, no matter what team you're talking about, I feel like that your bench players, in a sense, whether you're offense or defense, they have to become more involved and be a little bit more vocal as far as supporting their team, in a sense, you know, that encouragement, yeah, if you will. And sometimes, again, you can pick any team. It's irrelevant. I'm not picking, yeah, on your team by any means, but just in a sense saying that when you have that support and you're hearing those voices, you know what I'm saying, that encouragement like that, that builds you up, and all of a sudden now you mentally, you seem to be more focused because now you feel like somebody's got your back.
Yeah, well, you know, our JV's done a pretty good job so far on getting wins. I think we're 3-1 in JV play, but, you know, some of these teams are even, they've only got 13, 14 kids on their team. They've only got two or three kids that are not playing the varsity game. You know, conversely, we've got about 18 or 19 kids, and, you know, we're playing a lot of those kids. But again, they've got so many things. Our younger kids have so many things to learn, not just younger, our inexperienced players. When we get past our top 12, we drop off considerably, but those kids have got to get more experience, more playing time at JV level or whatever it may be to be able to help us out. Right now, they're probably a year or two away from being ready to go. But in a time where you get a couple players go down, we got to go to some of those kids, and somebody's got to stand out. And that's just kind of where you are. You know, Megan was telling me the other day, she said, man, it must be nice to have 13, 14 kids on your team. I said, sometimes it's nice to have a few that you don't have to worry about the many, if you will. We've seen a lot of teams be really effective with 12, 13, 14 kids. And there's a reason for that. If you've got three coaches working with 14 kids, you're about – it's like teaching. Classroom of 18, classroom of 26, which one you want your kid in?
Oh, the 18, obviously. Yeah.
There is no doubt the less you have to, the less people you work with, the more they can get done, the more reps they get.
That one-on-one time to try and work that in, yeah.
And then that's just kind of the way it is. So we'll step away, another break here. We got some more to talk about. We may run over a little bit more tonight. We're going to do another double break here on PCSN Live.
When you need insurance, contact Whitaker Insurance Group in Stanton, proud sponsors of the live broadcast of your Powell County Pirates on Pickup Country 104.9 FM.
Are you ready for warm weather and a little sunshine? The Appalachian Wireless team has decided to have the ultimate spring break event. A sale so big with so many savings opportunities, you'll be thinking it's Christmas in April. The spring break event is going on now through the end of April, and all smartphones are on sale with Appalachian Advantage. Spring into an Appalachian Wireless retail location or visit us on the web to see what deals have sprung at our spring break event. We know what you want because we are you. We are Appalachian Wireless.
Ace Hardware, East College Avenue, Stanton, want to wish the best for your Powell County Pirates at their sporting events, in their academics, at home, or wherever life takes them. Next time you need an item for your lawn or garden, building needs, small or large project, plumbing, electrical, tools, including Craftsman, DeWalt, Husqvarna, and so much more, remember your Ace Hardware right here in Stanton, East College Avenue, Ace, the helpful place.
Pre-planning your funeral should be a natural part of life because it provides you with time to make end-of-life decisions in a calm and rational atmosphere. Start the online planning process now or meet with one of our pre-planning advisors here at Davis & Davis Funeral Home for your end-of-life celebration. We also offer tribute videos, memorial websites, and live funeral webcasting. Contact Davis & Davis Funeral Home to discuss the possibilities. Find us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com or visit us at 777 West College Avenue in Stanton.
And welcome back here to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. Got a few more things we want to talk about before we close out. And, again, the weather is one, and it seems like it's kind of widened out, but the severity has weakened as we go on. It's weaker now, or stronger now up toward eastern Kentucky. Right now it's weakened out a little bit back toward Lexington, which the cold weather's coming in after. I know, but we were at 70-some, and Lexington was 54. It was about a 20-degree difference before the storm hit earlier, so as I come in, it was getting pretty cool outside. So, again, be careful if you're out there. Again, we still expect some more rain to fall. here in the Stanton area. We've got opening day tomorrow. Are you excited about opening day in Major League Baseball?
It's catching up to me. You know, once they decided to have their little labor dispute and all that stuff, collective bargaining, at that point I was like, I'm over it. But now that it's getting closer, I'm getting a little excited.
Well, the big news for you, I guess, as a Cardinals fan, you've got Albert Pujols back in the mix with his teammates in the past. And it's hard to say this. You got three guys that came up pretty close together.
Yeah.
And they're probably going to be going out at the end of the season
together.
From what all things are looking like. You got Yadier Molina, Albert Pujols, and the pitcher. Oh, Lord, I forgot his name.
You threw me off. You're right.
Anyway, and I know him. as a
Cardinal fan, I feel awful in a sense. Because I've not been invested fully.
He and Molina have, I think, as going for the most games by any battery mate in the history of baseball. And all of those guys were in their 40s. Now, does that... Adam Wainwright. What does that speak of as far as where St. Louis is going, as far as directional? Because you're looking at one of their top starters in Wainwright, your starting catcher in Molina, and your starting DH now in the National League, Albert Pujols. What's that look like with that kind of age going forward for the Cardinals?
I think that the way that the Cardinals structure their organization, I think, obviously, if you can get Yadi to come back and be a part of the coaching staff and still be around the team, I think they still remain strong in that regard. The Cardinals, in a sense, almost always reload. They still have a lot of young talent, the rest of the team, so I have no doubt that they will be able to replace those players. I like the fact that they do have the DH now, and Pujols can fill that role, even though his batting average is down over the last couple of years, you know, but hopefully being back in St. Louis, that kind of gets things going for him.
Well, one thing I do like about the signing of Albert Pujols back with St. Louis is he gets to finish his career where it started. Again, I think he's divorcing his wife at the same time as
She's the one that wanted to go to L.A. to begin with.
so she may have stayed and he come back to St. Louis.
That's exactly right. Yeah, he never should have left, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah, but I mean, I think kudos to the Cardinals organization to bring him back to finish that career out with St. Louis. I think that's a good move. You know, I always look at things like, you know, do you give Brandon Phillips a one-day contract? Do you give Todd Frazier a one-day contract back in Cincinnati so they can finish up their career back with the organization that got them started? I don't think you really can do that. Like you're seeing the running back for the Rams, or the 49ers, excuse me, he signed a one-day contract so he can come back and just retire as a Ram.
I wish that happened more often, especially certain players like that were a part of years.
Yeah, well,
you know what I'm saying?
Frank Gore spent his entire career with that San Francisco organization.
Yeah.
I think that's something well-deserved. For somebody like a Brandon Phillips, you'd have to kind of bring him back from three other clubs once he left the Reds. But I think he always wanted to finish up as a Red. A lot of players seem to have those same kind of feelings with the Reds organization. I know Jesse Winker was not real fond of being traded, I guess, but kind of he said, I'm glad I'm finally somewhere where they want to win. Now, to me, as a Reds fan, that was kind of aimed at the ownership. Here's a kind of a slap in the face. It's okay.
Yeah, I'm going to get my jab in while I have a chance.
The rest of those guys, you know, Eugenio Suarez left, and he was very unhappy. He wanted to finish his career in Cincinnati and thought he would. You know, and 3 years ago, I would have thought he would too. But again, with the I know they've said they've got $40 billion in salary, but they've added back about $20 with other players that they've re-signed that are, I don't know, questionable, but they're maybe Tommy Pham was one of those guys that was used to be with the Cardinals and was pretty good. He's only 34. 34 is getting old in baseball, but he's 34 years old, looks to be a starter for the Reds. A guy like that, if he can, you know, resurrect his career there in Cincinnati, they can still put a fun ball club on the field. In my opinion, after losing what they've lost, I still think they can put a competitive ball club on the field.
Yeah, I think that sometimes when you bring in new players, in a sense, and you change the clubhouse and the atmosphere, in a sense, everybody's more relaxed, kind of, right? There's no pressure on because nobody's expecting you to do anything. So now you can go out and play the game you enjoy, and hopefully the wins come.
Yeah, my thing is that with Winker and Suarez, why you traded them, maybe there was more of the reason we traded them than what
the locker room.
Maybe.
Yeah, you never can tell, right?
I wouldn't think so going forward, but maybe. But again, they'll kick off tomorrow's game. First time in a long time the Reds don't open at home. They'll open in Atlanta. They'll be home next week. But opening in Atlanta is a little bit different for the Reds, but that's tomorrow. Other news out of, I'll stay in Georgia, the Masters begins tomorrow. Really, the Masters begins tomorrow about 10:47 when Tiger Woods tees off. And wow, what a remarkable comeback story that's going to be for Augusta.
On one hand, you know, nobody has been able to come close to what Tiger Woods has done for golf over the last 15 to 20 years. It's hard to even keep up how long he's kind of been playing professionally. He is a fan favorite, obviously. Mm-hmm. Forget what happens off the course, but he is a fan favorite. And when he is relevant, more people are interested in golf. And not that there haven't been other golfers to come along. I mean, there's a whole list of guys, but yet nobody had the consistency that he did and was always there. So the fact that he's actually going to tee it up, I think it's great.
47 years old, 14 months away or 15 months away from his last tournament and 14 months away from his horrific accident, which almost cost him his leg. This is going to be almost, if he could get a win, it would be Hogan-like from when he'd come back from the car wreck that he had. And those are some kind of things I think sometimes Tiger shoots for and thrives for. And I tell you what, I think this, they asked him in the press conference, do you think you can be competitive? That's why I'm here.
He never doubts his ability other than his physical.
Not, he's not going to play a tournament unless he thinks he can win. Chance.
Yeah.
That's just the way Tiger thinks. And I think that's probably the right way to think. And he's good enough. Let's hope he's good enough tomorrow where he can that he can be in the mix. Normally, he's never played well day one. I think he has to play well tomorrow to keep himself going for Friday. I think the weather's coming in there on Friday. It's going to be a little bit cooler. It probably will challenge his foot and leg a little bit on Friday, a little bit more than tomorrow. We'll see if he can put 4 days back-to-back on that leg. Hopefully, he can. But I think for the world of golf, man, tomorrow is going to be, like I said, at 10:47. When you see it stacked, wherever Tiger is, it's going to be in throngs watching him play.
Yeah.
And I think I heard the announcer talking about today. They all want to witness his first tee shot because nobody thought it would be this soon and back at Augusta. And I will tell you my honest opinion. I thought it would be Augusta when he had his accident because where else would he come back to? I mean, this is the only tournament he pushes himself back for is the Masters. I think this is where he knew all along, I'm going to try to get back for the Masters in 2022.
Yeah, and the course speaks for itself. I mean, you know, it's a beautiful course in a sense. Yeah. I would like to see him remain healthy, and whether he stayed on the current tour and or even once he got to the senior tour, can you imagine how dominant potentially he could be on the senior tour once he got to that place?
I don't think Tiger ever will want to play in the senior tour. I think
probably not, but the dominance though that he could have again as a healthy Tiger at that age.
I think if he can be competitive, he's going to play on this tour as long as he can.
Absolutely.
And once he is finished here, I think he's done. I don't think he plays competitive golf after this. That's just,
I would agree with
thinking
that.
We're Tiger. He doesn't need the money. He doesn't need like go out there and grind for on the senior tour.
No.
But man, he has been so much fun to watch over the last 26-27 years. He's been a pleasure to watch in golf and
his son,
and I hope
his son
is going to be,
that's exactly right. Yeah he'll be his caddy and whatever else.
Let me tell you something,
his son is very good young golfer.
That kid, he's only 12, I think.
Yeah,
that kid's going to be,
yeah, he will, he's gonna be phenomenal too.
Look out PGA Tour when Tiger's out of playing golf, look out Tour, because that kid's going to be a player.
Yeah, agreed.
He's going to be, I wouldn't have surprised me if they play a Masters together at some point.
I could see that.
That would be so. There's no way Tiger would miss that one, right?
Right. No, you're exactly right.
So again, nobody's playing this week on the radio for the rest of the week, at least on
correct.
The Powell County side. Tune in Monday night, Powell County versus Model and softball.
And then we'll be back on PCSN next Wednesday, and then Thursday, if the Lee County game
gets posted, right?
If the Lee County game gets scheduled, we'll have that one, and then Friday the boys will be at home playing Menifee County.
So keep it tuned here to WSKV for all the updates here on, and thanks for joining us here on PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. See you next week.
for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. Streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKB app for Android and Apple users. Don't forget, tonight's program is available on our on-demand player at listenlikealocal.com. Powell County Sports Network would like to thank their sponsors, Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Park Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security & Fire Systems, and Apex Physical Therapy.
Stream the game to any...